Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The case against Karen Reed, it continues to move forward. Another hearing about to take place right as we're recording this. We're recording this before that hearing. But joining me to discuss where the case is at and where it's going, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. There's so many places that this could end up going. And most recently, a lot of jurors coming out and saying no on count one and count three. We said that she's not guilty, but that was never written down. That was never communicated to the judge. The judge already gave their ruling. Do you think that has any legs? Do you think that this could go anywhere in terms of helping Karen Reed, if in fact we do see another trial?
Boy, this is such a tough one because these are great legal questions, and I'm not a great legal guy.
I know.
But the thing I really do like about this is all the things you and I have been saying, and I know your other guests too, are right in line with what the jury was saying. So I like the fact that we're on point with the fact that They didn't believe that she intentionally did anything. If she did hit him, it was a mistake. She had no idea. So to your original question, how can this and can this help Karen Reed? I don't know if legally it will be able to, because again, I just don't know the law at that kind of level of detail. But that being said, I do think since this gets so much press and so much notoriety and it's out there so much, finding a jury that hasn't consume some of this information is going to be very, very challenging. And the fact that this is now in public domain, it's viewable. And especially, you know, being retried in the same area, it's going to be known by, I think, any potential jurors that come up. So I think it's going to help her. Here's the thing. If you don't know what it will do, you know what it won't do. It won't hurt her.
Yeah, true. A lot of the issues here when we're talking about possibly another trial surround some of the officers, Proctor, and now there's two others that are under investigation as well. I mean, that's got to be a challenging thing. How do various agencies, various law enforcement agencies handle that? What kind of challenges do they face when involving themselves? I mean, is it something that's easy to do? Is it more difficult, Colt, because you're looking within yourself? And is it ever really an unbiased investigation?
That really depends on the organization, Tony. And it's a great question. So internal to the FBI, we have a system called OPR, Office of Professional Responsibility. And that's the people you fear, like you have no idea. They come at you and they come at you hard, very unbiased. And the way they make you feel is guilty until proven innocent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so if there's any claims against you, they're coming at you hard. And it's by internal people, but it's rough. And you can already hear my anxiety over the thing. But that being said, all organizations, all law enforcement do have a very similar mechanism in place. And so, yeah, being under their internal investigation process is probably very similar. But again, it kind of depends on the health of the organization. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I do like. I do like that they're under investigation. A lot of very, very bad missteps were done by those investigators, by those officers. And the fact that those departments started those investigations on them shows that there's potential to start regaining trust in the process and system because of that. I mean, think about this. If they weren't under investigation, how much would you trust any of it? Now, the problem here is, and I didn't mean to cut you off. The problem here is that those officers' testimonies now and the evidence they collected, how can you use that in prosecution? It's all going to be it's all highly tainted by them. I mean, even inside the FBI, one of the greatest things that can get in the agent's way in testifying is anything like that. Yeah. I mean, you automatically were taken off of cases if you could, if you had anything in your background, anything administratively, anything anywhere that could be attacked on a jury stand. So that's where the real problem here is on prosecution if they go back again.
It just seems like no matter what they do, if they do go back and go after Karen Reed a second time, I don't know how you do it with so much tainted, you know, evidence, not even just evidence, it's just the individuals, the lead investigator, you know, on this being the one that was removed from his position because of improper conduct. It even if she did hit him, even if she is guilty, I don't know how you would accurately or you know, fairly get to that verdict because of the misconduct that we saw. And I feel like it goes well beyond just the crappy text messages and sexist text messages that were being sent.
So here's what I, you know, throwing my conjecture hat on and projecting out and doing my own thought experiment here. Here's what I theorize today from the information we know and the data points we have. I'm thinking that let's assume it's going to get retried. Like you said, how do you use that information against her? So say they can, worst case scenario against Karen Reed. The jury's going to most likely find her just like this, these jurors are saying, that either she committed it unintentionally, wasn't aware, or she didn't commit it and he was killed inside. Either way, she may or may not be culpable. Where this is really going to help all these different things that popped up, I think, is on sentencing. Yeah. And so the judge is going to be, I think, swayed by all the injustice done to Karen Reed by all of this. And so whether she's found guilty of some degree of manslaughter, involuntary or whatever it is, or she's acquitted, either way, she's probably more likely to have a lighter sentence this go around than last go around because of all this.
Makes you wonder if the correct move at this point would be to just go and say, look, maybe try and make some sort of plea deal at this point of, look, maybe I hit him. I don't know if I did, because she said it to so many people now. I mean, even her parents have been on interviews talking about how she said this, basically to the effect of, I think I might have hit him. I don't know, you know, and I might not have been aware of it. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here where she did recognize that that was a possibility at one point until we got to the trial. Then it went to, nope, didn't happen at all. He was in the house, and you can't really walk a story like that back, you know, with any sort of, you know, credibility.
And I wouldn't expect them to anyway, just because if you're going to claim you're innocent and not guilty, you know, and defense is going to do what defense does. And I like your idea, though. You know, let's keep our fingers crossed that a plea deal is worked out where justice is served. The family feels that lost their son, feels that justice is served, because that's really still, they're the only surviving victims right now, is still them.
Yeah.
And it just moves on, because, you know, to burden the justice system even more with another trial with all these missteps. And what more can we really learn?
Yeah.
It's still a drunken, bad death. No one's going to remember anything better. There's not going to be any new evidence. Yeah. So whether it's admissible or inadmissible, or the cops that collected are corrupt or not corrupt, it doesn't even matter. It still is what it is. No one has a great memory, which is all this is based upon. So what are you going to do with it? It's still going to wind up exactly the same way.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly,
so you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.